It's time for the MMA Insiders.
Adam Hill across the way, covering the cage.com, Las Vegas Review Journal, Brett Okamoto, ESPN.com, Steve Cofield, Clay Baker, helping us out here as we go into the 6 o'clock hour, of mixed martial arts talk. Are you going to go all Bisping on us here? You going to spit on one of us? You okay?
I'm good.
All right. What just happened?
Michigan lost.
Your team, Michigan, even though they went to UNLV, just lost in the Sweet 16.
I didn't expect to win a title.
It was a good run.
It was a good run.
1-point game, and for all you bettors who were like, Michigan money line's a good bet. Oops. Plus one, you get your money back. It's a tough one. Brett, you've done that before, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, let me pass on the points. I'll make a little more money. Damn it.
Said I'd never do it again. Did it again. Said I'd never do
it
again.
You didn't do it here, did you?
Did it a third time. No, okay. I know. Thankfully, no.
So what's going on? Busy week in mixed martial arts. We're on the Conor Floyd watch 24 hours a day, which is great.
Busy week, but as I was talking to somebody this week, 2 full weeks off of UFC cards, like, never happens. So it's a very weird time.
Last week's card, biggest impression, Jimmy Manoa. What else? Give me some more options. The retirement fight. What a special night for Brad Pickett.
I think.
Yeah.
I'm not laughing at him. I didn't understand why Brad Pickett, of all guys, and I guess to sell tickets, you know, since he's back home, but why he got a retirement night and fight.
It is to sell tickets, but at the same time, like, these are the kind of guys that I'd like to see honored in these type of situations. He's been around forever. He's been a guy who, like, you can say filled cards, but he's a guy who always brought entertaining fights. You'd always look, you know, if you're he never, I don't think, resonated with, like, the mainstream audience, but I think if you're a hardcore fan, you're looking at a card, you're like, you know what, okay, I'm sure that fight's gonna be entertaining. Like, he's that kind of guy, and you don't really see those guys honored in combat sports that often. It's always the superstars, and for him to have a night where he'd go home, have his retirement fight, and, you know, not go out quite the way he wanted because he lost, but it was actually a very fitting Brad Pickett way to go out, where he's winning a fight and then gets knocked out because he's not being, like, overly conservative. Like, it kind of was a fitting end, and it's cool to see those kind of guys get their due at the end of their career.
You know what this card was, is great, great performances at the top, but you just can't forget what happened when they ran up against the other top contenders of their division. You look at Jimmy Manoa, you're like, wow, Jimmy Manoa looked great. Oh, he got absolutely wrecked by Anthony Johnson. Wow, Gunnar Nelson looked phenomenal. Damian Maia cleaned his clock, what was it, 2 years ago. So I don't say that to disparage either guy. I really like Gunnar Nelson, and I think obviously Manoa's power makes him dangerous against anybody. But it was one of those times where it was just like, oh, these guys look great, but they had their shot against, you know, the top of their division, and they didn't just lose. They got absolutely smoked. It's hard to forget those sometimes when you're watching those types of cards.
On Pickett, I agree with you. My lead-in sounded like I was disrespecting him. I agree with you. I like Rock'em Sock'em guys, and I mentioned last week before the fight that he's also a guy who's leaving the sport, probably affected by the sport. Like, his face is jacked, and he's having a little trouble speaking now, which is sad. So he laid it on the line for, you know, what, 20 fights between WEC and UFC for this company. On the Manoa and Gunnar Nelson thing, who's got more upside to have a bounce back and move forward the rest of their career? I think it's Gunnar Nelson.
Absolutely, I would agree. Yeah, well, I mean, Manoa was in his late 30s, you know, and Gunnar's 28. So I think almost by default, Gunnar wins that. But yeah, I think Manoa is a great knockout artist. The holes in his game, and I wouldn't even really say that they're holes. It's not like he's just easily taken down, but he's not going to catch up at age 37. Gunnar, he's still got some time.
And at the same time, I would say, even if they were of similar age, because I think Gunnar Nelson makes this the obvious answer, his age clearly has the better future because he's about a decade younger. But I think what you've seen is, okay, they're both somewhat one-dimensional guys, where Manoa is a knockout guy, Gunnar Nelson is a submission guy. Gunnar Nelson seems to be improving. His submission was set up by his hands, and I think a lot of that is Joman being anxious about not getting taken down and not getting submitted, and so he wasn't, you know, at his best in the stand-up. But that's how submission guys can get to that level. Like, he's got the threat of the takedown and the submission, so you don't want to fully commit to your stand-up game, and then his stand-up becomes effective. So I think on that level, he's showing that he can bridge the gap to some of his deficiencies and get even better, and that will help him move up to the top of the division. And you know, nobody's ever going to question what he can do on the ground. So I think certainly he has the better potential to reach the top of the division than Manoah does, even though Manoah has that weapon of the knockout that can be an equalizer against anyone.
Thoughts on Manoah not calling out a UFC top five guy but David Haye for a boxing match?
I bet over there it resonates, right? Over here it might seem a little weird, but you know, you got to remember this guy from England. So I think that it probably resonated over there a little bit more than, you know, we're kind of like, oh, what is this going on? You know,
they're also, I mean, I think that is a valid point, but there also is a case to be made that if people start to feel that the McGregor-Mayweather fight is going to be made, aren't they going to need other fights on the card? And I'm sure what, you know, some of the negotiation will be, hey, let's just put actual boxing matches on this card. I think it could be intriguing to start saying, hey, it's going to be all MMA against boxing, guys, and there's a ton of money to be made, so let's get on there.
Oh, that card will only take 10 years to build. You're talking about all these kinds of different boxers and different... I mean, it's hard enough to create one fight, given just the differences in the contracts and the mindsets, and you want to create a whole card of them?
Yeah, why not? Jump on.
All right, coming to you live at 2020, we'll see this boxing versus MMA card.
The Haye against Manoah fight would be awesome. That's a pretty easy fight to make, I think. Just throw it out there.
You think it's easy to make?
Sure. They already... It's once the McGregor-Mayweather fight comes together, the other ones would pretty much just fall in line.
I don't know about that. I think David Haye has an idea of how much money he should make for fighting Jimmy Manoah, and I don't know if we could put $8,000
Like Brett said, he makes good money in the UK. He's a big star there, so he may be off the radar here, but he's still a big star.
You can't use you can't use proven names already in boxing because they'll be expecting to make a ton of money, and they're already going to be fighting about money between the three sides: UFC, Conor, and Floyd. So now you want to add more guys who think they should be getting paid.
What do you think David Haye makes a fight?
You know, actually, that's a good call. I don't know.
Yeah.
You're calling me right here. I have no idea what he makes, but I guarantee you it's good money.
I'm throwing out $300,000.
$300,000 a fight?
Yeah.
No way. Heavyweight?
Yes. Nobody watches them.
No. No.
What's the exchange rate on pound to dollar?
No,
are they still at like 1.5?
I have no
for
idea.
Dollars. Literally, I'm gonna say 1.5.
No clue on that.
He made
either.
$2 million.
Okay.
Last fight.
All right.
1.4 million pounds.
All right.
So
you're out.
It was over there.
Go in the corner.
Quite nobody here is watching him.
quite incorrect.
Right. He doesn't have to come here.
He will for that fight. That's his entrance. $2 million. That's his entrance into the U.S. market.
Well, he was in the U.S. market already. He can make more money.
He made $2 million in the U.S.
He made $2 million in March. Against, which is this month, a couple of weeks ago in that fight against Tony Bellew.
Where was that?
I don't know.
I've never heard of that guy. That was in England.
Exactly, and he still got paid $2 million.
I'm saying that was. I'm not sure that was in England. There's no way it was in the U.S. That's his way to bridge over into the U.S. market. I don't know.
I feel like
who knows what's up and what's down anymore in the MMA and boxing world? The biggest boxing matches involving an MMA fighter. I've no idea what's happening in boxing. They just had like two of their biggest stars possible fight on the same card, and they had 120,000 pay-per-views. So I don't know. I don't know how they're making money or why they would ever turn down a big fight.
I actually had that wrong. Now I'm reading reports that they split $7 million.
That's like $8.
No, it's not. You're an idiot.
So Adam's getting more and more wrong.
He's
the
getting
more research that you do.
That Tony Blue guy made $5 million. I don't even know who that is. Good for him, though. Good for the boxers to be making a lot of money. It was obviously a weird call out, but he did say, I guess I don't know why people thought he should call out John Jones. John Jones is fighting Cormier Johnson. Right, so I don't know why
people thought he should call.
Yes,
I think
that was the outrage. Why are you calling out David Haye? Call out John Jones. Like, John Jones is going to fight the winner of the title fight.
Yeah. Well, I think another part of that outrage was that didn't he say something about John being on steroids?
Yes.
Or something? And so that's people like, oh, you're using that as an excuse to duck him or whatnot. This is what we ended up talking about after a card like this. You know, I mean, let's just be honest. This was not like Jimmy Manoah is fun. He's definitely fun to watch, but Jimmy Manuel versus Corey Anderson is not really a great main event. So this is why we've ran off the rails, and you're talking about what was the guy's name? Yeah, Jimmy Banaloo, or what was his name?
Tony Blue?
Tony Blue, is that what it was?
David Hay. It is a storyline because of the boxing MMA mix now. Are more MMA fighters going to do this because they think it's the thing to do and they can.
Okay, if we want to talk, talk about that, it's not going to be on the same card as Floyd Mayweather and Conor McGregor.
You can only do that once.
I think this was what we all used to think Conor and Floyd was. This was to grab headlines. I mean, and I'm sure that Manuel would do it if Hay ever agreed to it. But I'm thinking that he was there in front of a crowd in London and thought, I'm going to call out David Hay because I know I'm going to get a reaction, positive or negative. It doesn't matter. I'm going to get a big reaction off this.
And it worked. So, I mean, it was an interesting call out on a fight that who knows who he should have called out. Because as you said, he's gone to the top of the division and got wrecked. So where does he stand? Who could he go fight that would be a challenge, would move him up, and make sense? Really, I don't think there is one.
I wouldn't be against seeing him fight John Jones. I know that the UFC isn't going to do that because you got to bring him in and put him in a title fight because that's what makes money and sells pay-per-views. As just from a standpoint of fight fan, I wouldn't mind seeing John come back from a long layoff when he didn't look that great against Ovince St. Preux and taking on Manoa. As a fan, I'd like to see that, but we won't see that. Not in his first fight back.
One more thing on this fight. They're trying to make a rematch between those guys, but Hay has a ruptured Achilles, so when they fight again, they can make big money. And Blue was a guy who moved up from cruiserweight. So we open with our MMA six of the biggest stories of the week around mixed martial arts. Next story to hit. So we're going to have three events here in July, back to back to back. All three are T-Mobile, huh? A little aggressive? I guess they really are the official home of the UFC. Doesn't matter if it's a 5,000-seat card. They're going to be in the big building. What do you think?
Appears so. Yeah. I mean, you come out and you announce a deal like that, a landmark deal, official home of the UFC. You know, I think just from a logistics standpoint, you don't have to be moving around town all the time. Everything's consolidated in the same spot. But that arena is going to look empty.
Last year they did it back-to-back nights.
Chelsea?
At the Cosmo, right? Cosmopolitan.
Well, that was December. Did they do it? I don't think they did it again in July.
Okay.
I thought they did MGM and then team.
Did they do Pearl MGM?
I can't even remember. There's so many different fight cards.
They work their way up.
Right. But the part of the deal that was announced, though, you just made reference to the official home of the UFC. Part of the deal, and I've asked people about this, and I think when they signed that deal, it's kind of a ceremonial thing. It doesn't have, I don't think there's like strict regulations on the contract. But one of the things they said is it is the arena home of UFC shows. So I think their only options are very, very small venues or T-Mobile. Now, I'm sure they could get them to waive it and say, hey, we just want to do this over at Mandalay or somewhere smaller. But I think it's if they don't do one of the small venues, they have to do T-Mobile as part of that deal. Again, I think they can get waived. I've asked about this. Nobody really seems to know the answers or the details on that. But I think that could be part of it as well, that when they do shows in Vegas, it is most likely going to be at T-Mobile because they are the home and they're going to have signage and all this other stuff. They are just like an anchor tenant, like an NHL or NBA franchise. It kind of works the same way for the UFC.
Last July, they did MGM Grand Garden back-to-back nights.
Right.
77-60 in attendance, 81-15, and then T-Mobile, 18-202 for UFC 200. So 7-8 last year, and they're going to be in the big building, so maybe they curtain off part of the building.
Yeah.
Story four, as we count down to one, another UFC fighter, top five guy, right? Top six, Ryan Bader, 205-er, leaves. Bellator signs him.
Big news?
No. Like, again, right?
It's in a division where if you lost someone from 170 or 155, where there's literally, the 23rd guy is pretty freaking good. 205 is a little short on, back end high level fighters.
Very short.
Even from number eight to 15. So
yeah.
I think the story is the division. Now you've lost Phil Davis, a 20 something, and Bader, who is 33. Two pretty good fighters.
I think this is a pretty good example to make a point, or at least to start a conversation, and that is that I think even Ryan Bader knew that winning a UFC title was going to be very difficult for him. That, you know, you got Jon Jones, you got Daniel Cormier, you got Anthony Johnson at the top. I'm never going to count myself out. I've got a lot of self-belief, obviously, but those are going to be tough fights. And so at that point, if I'm not going to be a champion, what am I going to be? And no one really likes to think of themselves as a gatekeeper, but that's sort of what he was. And so the question then, if you look at this from a business standpoint, because we know that that Ryan Bader is the athlete, probably doesn't want that role. He doesn't want to be defined by that. But the business question for the UFC is, do you need the gatekeeper? Because it seems like in this case, they're sort of throwing out the gatekeeper. You don't need a guy that says, oh, we've got a guy like Misha Cirkunov. He's going to fight Ryan Bader, and by beating Ryan Bader, he could then become legitimate and be looked at as a number one contender. They're getting rid of that role in a very obvious way to me, because they're saying that doesn't make money. A gatekeeper does not make money. But as a sport, a gatekeeper is very important. That's the way that I'm looking at this, is that they've sort of just disvalued this role of, oh, well, this guy's a number five, but he's never going to be a number one, so he's not worth that much.
Plus,
to
they
us.
Had that guy already in 39-year-old Glover Teixeira.
Yeah, they so got a handful
a weird,
of them.
It's a weird position. Like, hey, we need high-level guys so the younger guys can prove themselves, but they don't really need to beat them all the time. That's not helping us.
True, but I think from a lot of what Brett said is, I think, completely accurate in that, yeah, you can have a guy just win four fights in a row. It doesn't really matter over who, and then you can start presenting him as a contender and selling him as a contender. But you've also got a guy like Ryan Bader who has been around for a long time, who isn't making like astronomical money, but he keeps moving up the pay charts and making a little more money, and he really doesn't sell anything. It's like, oh, Ryan Bader's on this card. All right, that's cool. We're going to keep paying him more and more to be a guy that we really can't take advantage of in any meaningful way. Or a guy like Teixeira, I guess at least you can like, all right, we'll put him on a card in Brazil, even though he lives here now. It's like, he sells us somewhere. Like, you're never going to use Ryan Bader to go sell in Reno or in Phoenix. Unless you have a special marketable skill or an area where you can sell tickets or a reason for people to watch you on TV, then they don't need the gatekeeper role. It's gatekeeper only in certain circumstances.
He was making decent money too, just because he had been around long enough,
right,
that, you know, a lot of these contracts are structured that they increase, they go up every time you win a fight. Ryan Bader had won 15 fights in the UFC, which means he was getting more money from the Reebok deal as well, because he had been in with the UFC for so long. So in an isolated incident, you can say, okay, Ryan Bader was making such and such, he only brings in such and such, so we're making the business decision to let him go. But as a whole, are you watering down your overall brand by not keeping a guy like that around? It's more of like within a vacuum, you can say, yes, it makes sense for them to let Ryan Bader go, but what are you telling to your fan base by letting a number five guy walk?
No, I think ideally you want to have every one of the top 20 in every division, but it's not going to happen. And he's another guy that I think that they can throw out in this potential, well, ongoing lawsuit, but potentially down the road. I'm like, yeah, guys, we lose guys all the time. You know, there's competition out there. They're getting signed away, and there's more and more of those guys. I think there's enough now that they don't have to worry about that necessarily, but it's just another guy that has fallen into that, and they can let go, and he was probably never going to win the title. Maybe now he can compete for a title, so it makes some sense for him from that standpoint. It's just, you know, I would like to see them just be determined to keep all of the top 20 in every single weight class.
Yeah, ideally, that's what you would want, but clearly, that's
no,
not what's
it's
happening.
Not going to happen.
Top three stories in MMA on the way.
MMA Insider Show.
Here at Dollar Loan Center, we've been helping customers and the community for nearly 20 years. We've had thousands of great reviews, smiling customers, and positive referrals. It's no surprise, as our trusted loan specialists are in a class all their own. Their knowledge of good lending practices and friendly attitude come together to create an excellent experience for you. Our superior stores offer a relaxing environment with no glass or steel bars, your favorite music playing on the radio, and the first thing you see is a smiling face standing up to greet you. Stop by, give us a call at 364-LOAN or log on to don'tbebroke.com today and check out our Dollar Loan Center guarantee that ensures you're getting the very best deal. Get a signature loan up to $2,500 with no checking account required, no application fees, and no prepayment penalties, all in just minutes.
Lending simplified.
Licensed by Nevada Financial Institutions Division. Customer must meet the normal loan qualifications. Review loan qualifications. Visit us at don'tbebroke.com. Certain limitations may apply. Loans are subject to approval.
Hey, party people. Are you ready for your next event? Make your next celebration fun and decorative by visiting glowsource.com. Shop our huge selection of glow and LED novelties like glow-in-the-dark beach balls, pool orbs to brighten up any party. Need a backdrop for your birthday, school dance, or wedding? Use our fun decorations like our rainbow-colored string lights, fiber optic wands, or LED centerpieces. And we also have LED balloons available in multiple colors. Make your dessert table festive with our LED ice buckets. Fill them up with ice or use them to hold your delicious treats. Speaking of treats, we have the perfect LED cotton candy cone ready to rainbow up your cotton candy. Going to the next concert or music and food festival near you? Complete your outfit with the perfect accessory, like our glow-in-the-dark necklaces and bracelets and LED sunglasses. The possibilities are awesome with glowsource.com. Save big and enjoy 15% off your order by entering promo code RADIO. Shop glowsource.com today and light up your party.
Wesley is a truck driver.
I drive a truck and I love what I do.
A truck driver with IRS troubles.
They told me I owed them $43,000.
It got really bad.
Quite a few letters in the mail. They were talking about wage garnishment coming after my house, my car. Yeah, they don't play around. I seriously thought that I was going to lose everything.
One sleepless night, Wesley finally made a call to Optima Tax Relief at 2 a.m.
Kind of figured I'd get a machine, but I didn't. I actually got to talk to an actual person in the middle of the night.
He found just what he was looking for.
Oh, they were great people. You need a team of people that know what they're doing. Optima Tax, they know what they're doing.
Optima Tax Relief came through with flying colors.
I saved an incredible amount of money. Happy don't even come close. I was absolutely overjoyed.
Take Wesley's advice.
If you're in any kind of trouble with the IRS, call Optima Tax Relief. Don't trust anybody else.
Call Optima for a free consultation. Call 800-375-2922. 800-375-2922. 800-375-2922.
Optima Tax Relief.
Some restrictions apply. For complete details, please visit OptimaTaxRelief.com.
Do you find yourself always on the go and snacking on unhealthy food throughout the day? We have a solution. Source Bar is a new gourmet protein bar with a taste profile that will blow your mind. Enjoy flavors like chocolate chip cookie dough, snickerdoodle, cookies and cream, birthday cake, and chunky peanut butter. And each bar fuels your body with 20 grams of protein. You can find Source Bars at your local nutrition store or at SourceWellNutrition.com. At checkout, enter the code SOURCE and receive 20% off your order. Source Bar, your gourmet protein bar.
Mike, can you pick me up? My car just got towed for no insurance.
Nancy, why don't you have insurance?
It's too expensive. I couldn't pay $125 a month, and my insurance just canceled me.
Why don't you call Freeway Insurance? I have the same car as you, and I only pay $29 a month. You'd be saving over $1,000 a year.
Wow, Freeway Insurance is going to save me a lot of money. What's their number?
It's 702-727-3435. That's 702-727-3435.
Do they have an office close to me?
Freeway has offices all over Nevada.
Give me that number again.
It's 702-727-3435. 702-727-3435.
Freeway Insurance has rates as low as $29 a month. Tickets, accidents, no license, no problem. The pros at Freeway Insurance are here to save you money. Call now and see how much you can save. 702-727-3435. 702-727-3435. Freeway Insurance, the auto insurance experts.
Restrictions apply, liability premium only.
It's time for the MMA Insiders.
We are back here on this Thursday. Adam Hill, covering the cage.com, Las Vegas Review Journal, ESPN.com's Brett Okamoto, Steve Cofield. Top three stories. We've got a lot more. There's a lot of fight announcements, but three of the bigger stories of the week to get to. Bellator going to land at MSG. From what we hear, it's in big MSG. It's not the theater next door. June 24th, Chael Sonnen is going to fight again. Hopefully he fights this time. He's going to take on Wanderlei Silva, which is a great promotion leading into that fight. And they're going to try Fedor again in New York, which is awesome for the New York audience, against Matt Mitrione. That fight went south last time around because Mitrione had kidney stones.
Or second thoughts.
You don't believe it. Didn't we see proof of the stone?
Sure.
I don't. What more proof do you need that someone had kidneys? What do you think? Someone gave the kidney stone to him?
Yeah. The handoff. I'm still skeptical.
Wow. I didn't know this. I hadn't heard that. Well, from Adam, at least.
Adam thought there may have been some shenanigans, if I can say the word, shenanigans going on behind the scenes before the fight.
Like what?
Oh, like somebody agreed to not fight their best and then said, yeah, you know what, I can't do this.
Wow. Okay.
Was it backed up by uneven action at books?
Yeah, but I also think that that could have been, I think the action could have been the result of rumors. So I don't think the action, was necessarily a result of anything factual. Action was a result of a lot of people have had a lot of suspicions about the last couple of Bellator fights, or several Bellator fights recently, and people were starting to try to figure out which way it was going to be worked out, and so they started making bets based on that. So I don't think the betting action is necessarily indicative of anything suspicious going on. It's just people thinking there might be something suspicious and trying to take advantage of it.
How much did it move in favor of Fedor last time?
It was quite a bit. I have to go back and look. But it wasn't even huge. It wasn't huge. It doesn't take much on Bellator fights to make a move anyway. But it was more just, I think that there was people who, again, I don't think the people that were betting had any kind of information. I think they were just trying to guess, oh, you know what? I think some fights have been suspicious. Maybe this one's going to be suspicious. And if it's suspicious, it's certainly going to be in Fedor's favor.
Well, there definitely have been some weird Bellator main events. This kind of started with the Dada Kimbo stuff, right? All the money that poured in on Dada?
Well, wasn't that after Kimbo Shamrock? Kimbo Shamrock was the one where people were like, wait a minute.
But that was after the fact, right? And so then the line move was the Dada 5000 fight.
Yeah, yeah. And so people were starting to look at it and say, and then, of course, there was all the suspicions in the Sonnen fight as well. If I had to go one way or the other, would I say something suspicious going on? I'd say no. But there's enough people out there that do think there's suspicious things going on.
Oh yeah, people
that they're
going
to start you know, making bets or making predictions based on what they think might be happening, rather than any kind of inside information or anything like that.
All right, so here's a question that sort of goes along with what we were just talking about, but also I think what this topic was supposed to be about initially is the pay-per-view. But do you think the fight happens in New York? Do you think it stays together?
Does the card stay together, or does the fight?
Well, let's start with Fedor Mitrione, and then the card in general.
Let's see. I think one of the top two fights falls apart, at least. I don't know which one. I don't know how it's going to happen. I just feel like there's no way they're both going to happen. First of all, you've got four guys older than me in the main and co-main events. That's what you're banking on. Everybody staying together and staying healthy through a training camp to try to fight. So I just feel like something goes wrong somewhere along the way.
Isn't it quite possible that they both could fall apart?
Of course.
And that's why I think that this is... I get it. I get why Bellator is doing this, and I understand that, you know, they're going to New York. They want a big splash. They're going to put everybody on the card, and so they feel like this is an opportunity to do a pay-per-view. But is this not really risky? I mean, you're taking a situation where you could get everybody jazzed up about a free card on television. There are going to be a lot of entertaining fights. But you remember, I mean, the last time they tried to put on a pay-per-view, they lost their main event.
Yeah. Like the day before?
And you're putting on fights with guys who haven't fought in years, you know? And it's just, you're putting together a situation where it's like, and then you're asking people to pay for it. And so people are going to be super critical of it. We're no longer on Spike TV where it's like, oh, that fight was horribly bad, but at least we laughed about it. I mean, I really think that you're putting yourself in a situation like Bader and Phil Davis. We know what that fight looks like. If that fight ends up on the card, it could be boring. Michael Chandler versus Brent Primus could be a boring fight.
If they lose Primus, they're in trouble.
And if one or both of them, I think it's risky, man. I think it's risky to start asking people to pay for something, especially when your product is prone to falling apart. I mean, sometimes
you've had one of the two main event, the main and the co-main, one of those fights was just booked and just got taken off the card the day of. So I'm sure there's going to be people skeptical, like, I was all ready to watch this for free. You canceled it on me the day of, and some people tuned into the card to watch and didn't even know. They're like, wait, where's the Fedor fight? It got canceled today? And now, so a fight I was going to watch for free and then got yanked, the rug got yanked out from under it. Now I'm going to pay to watch it?
Yeah.
It's crazy. And you're certainly not going to pay in advance. You're going to wait till right before the card starts before you pay, I think.
For the record, of course, I'm not rooting for this. I think it's a fun event, and I do think that you know, if it does go off, I think it'll be a positive night. I think people will talk of it, you know, in a positive way, just because they are putting so much into it, and there are going to be meaningful fights at the end of the day. I mean, Lorenz Larkin versus Douglas Lima for the welterweight fight title, that's an action fight. But, man, I think they're stepping out on a real weak limb here by asking people to pay for something. You're already asking someone to pay for something that they normally get for free is already tough. But then to load it up with a bunch of old guys who have a history of pulling out of cards, I hope it goes well for them.
I didn't see the price you might have. I thought it was either 19 or 29 that they were going to go with. So not quite like what a UFC pay-per-view is.
Sure.
But I think that there's a number that it doesn't matter where – some people wouldn't even pay a dollar. Once they see it's on pay-per-view, they're like, yeah, I'm out. I'm not going to pay for it. So no matter if it's a dollar or $50, I don't know how many people make their decision just based on how much it is.
Yeah.
So I don't know if you'd look at it and say, well, I'll pay 19 but not 29, or I'd pay 29 but not 49. I think you're disqualifying a lot of people from watching it just when you make a pay-per-view in general. So we'll see how that goes.
Got to watch for the integrity of the sport, the quality of matchmaking, which brings us to UFC landing in OKC in June. BJ Penn has another fight. Thoughts?
Same night, isn't it? I think it's the same night.
No, it's the next day.
Oh, so Sunday.
One's a Friday, card? One's a Saturday.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right. Well, I guess that's fortunate. Yeah, it's going to be very old person week. It's going to be geriatric June.
BJ Penn couldn't defend himself against a younger guy, a good striker in Yair Rodriguez.
Or Frankie Edgar, and 3 years before that.
Now he's going against an older striker, but still a good striker. He's a one-dimensional guy in Dennis Siver.
Nobody needs to see this fight. Nobody needs to see it. There's no need for it to happen.
He wasn't real good on head kicks against Rodriguez.
Well, Rodriguez's head kicks are a little different, though. I know that Siver is a striker, and he's had dangerous moments in his career, but you know it's not like he's in his prime of his career either.
I think he smokes him.
You think Siver smokes him?
This is like a -500 fight for me.
Wow.
BJ was rushed into level of competition. He just cannot defend himself anymore, and he still has that old school mentality. Like, I can take strikes. Like, bro, you can't.
Yeah.
You're old. You're broken down. He doesn't defend himself. He's going to get killed.
I will agree that if Penn was just a little bit more of a sane person with a practical mind, I would still like his skill set in this fight. And even though he got knocked out by Rodriguez, it's not like he's to the point where his chin just gets touched and he goes down. Like, we've seen fighters in the sport that look like that. I don't think Penn is quite there yet. But you're right that he comes in with that warrior mentality, and just that alone in this fight should make him an underdog.
I just don't need to see BJ Penn fight. From the UFC's perspective, I guess if a guy, you know, like that has built up enough with your company and he wants to fight, I guess you tell him to fight and maybe try to talk him out of it for a little bit. But say, if you're going to fight, that's fine. We're going to put you in there. I just don't need to see it. Can you just find a grappler? We just let him grapple somebody. We don't have to see him go against somebody that's just going to try to take his head off.
Yep.
Like, I just don't need to see that again.
I guess maybe I'm okay with it because I'm it's just maybe I'm comparing it to the last one. I mean, they threw him to the wolves so bad on the last one. And of course, if I had my way, no, I wouldn't have wanted BJ Penn to have come out of retirement at all.
No.
I never needed to see him fight again, but I understand that that's just how this sport is. I mean, Royce Gracie fought last year, right? Was that last year? Royce Gracie fought last year. You know, Matt Hughes is talking about a comeback. So, like, I guess maybe I'm just okay with this because at least they're the same age. At least they're both 38. At least this is that Legends League that Vitor was talking about, and we're not seeing them fight a 24-year-old.
No elbows, no knees.
Short rounds, longer breaks.
3-minute rounds and 90 seconds between.
Awesome.
30 seconds on the mat. That's it.
Top story of the week, like every week until, you know, unless we have a pay-per-view, is, I guess, going to be updates on Conor McGregor and Floyd Mayweather. We have to go back a couple of days for the latest news and a scary, scary incident as Conor McGregor confronted an ESPN.com writer Is Dan Rafael okay? Because I read all over the front page of your MMA section that he was confronted.
Yeah. I haven't talked to Rafael since. I've sent him some texts. Hey, buddy.
Has he responded?
I saw the videos. Are you all right? I'm here for you. Let me know what I can do. Nah, he definitely enjoyed it. Rafael loves that kind of stuff. But, I mean, it is fun. I mean, I can't even say that if McGregor came and called me out of press row, I would think it was funny, and I'd go on SportsCenter and talk about it too. It was a performance by Conor. I thought it was a pretty good one. I mean, the guy knows exactly what he's doing. The boxing crowd is there. He goes and makes the point to the boxing writers and says that he's going to take over their entire sport, thinking that that may rile him up. Dan's column was good. He was on SportsCenter talking about it, and then he continued to say that Conor has absolutely no chance, and that's probably exactly what Conor wanted. So another victory for Conor McGregor.
Conor is pretty much undefeated in the media. I think that that's pretty obvious, and he knows how to go after him. He knows what he's doing. I think that for the most part, if you attack the media and say, I'm taking over your sport, they don't care, but I think the boxing media is different, and they're kind of protective of MMA media is the same way. So, you know, I'm sure that there was a lot of boxing guys that were all riled up about it. It was interesting. It was a way to keep his name out there, keep it in the headlines, as this entire thing has been, where I've said all along, even if the fight never happens, Conor McGregor has spent the last year, or at least the last, like, 7 months or whatever it is, 6 months, not fighting, but still being the most popular fighter in the world and getting more popular by the day. It's been a brilliant move from start to finish. I'm sure he's going to make like 3 or 4 more brilliant moves before the fight is ever announced or falls apart or whatever happens to it. The guy just knows what he's doing.
I was talking to a guy at ESPN the other day, and we kind of got into this weird conversation about, like, why do people want to see this? Because everybody does, and everybody will watch it. But the question is really why, because even as I was sitting here listening to you talk, Adam, and you know, you were saying that, oh, boxing writers, they get a little defensive of their sport. MMA writers probably the same way. Actually, I think everybody's sort of in on the joke on this one for the most part. And I think if the fight were to happen, pretty much everybody would be in on the joke. They'd be like, this is ridiculous. This guy's got no shot. Mayweather is clearly going to win this. And yet everybody is going to watch it.
Is Dana White in on the joke? He made the case for why McGregor could win.
Yes, Dana is in on the joke as well. And then it just begs the most simple question of why. And I said that I think it's just we're all bored. I think we go through so much content now on our phones and in the internet and everything that we see so much that it just takes something different now to get us to watch something, even if it's a sham. Because we've seen the best fight the best in boxing and MMA.
I'm taking a vacation and I'm not covering it. I'm out. I don't need it.
Oh, as someone who just buys the pay-per-view and sits on the couch and watches it, I think it'll be a fun night. As someone who's trying to cover it, like you and I...
What a spectacle.
I'm going to be thinking about my career choices on that night if it ever happens. I guarantee it. I'm going to sit there and I think,
I've seen that happen before.
It's going to be an interesting fight. Because there will be drama in the fight. He may get taken apart, but I don't think he's going to get knocked out instantly, and he's going to fight like a lunatic, McGregor. So it actually will be entertaining. It may not be competitive, but just seeing, you know, this barbaric approach to boxing try to go after the guy who, you know, reinvented defense and winning without getting touched, it'll be interesting.
I was thinking about it more, though, and I think it is going to be even uglier than I initially thought, because when you think about it, you think about how Conor does have a history of gassing. So what is going to make that disparity in skills even more prevalent? Him gassing. Because then he's going to be throwing the heaviest shots you've ever seen.
And I don't think he's going to go down that easily, so I think he's going to get torn up, too.
Slow, lumbering, sloppy punches at the second half of this fight. And then you've got Floyd, the best defensive fighter of our era. It's going to look so bad. The more I was thinking about it more, because like you, we were talking about this last week, and I was like, I think it'll be entertaining because Conor will just keep going after him. He'll go out on his shield. He'll do everything he can because he knows that's his one shot. But he's got cardio issues. We've seen it in his MMA career. So the more I think about it, oh, it's going to be so ugly.
Will Floyd get crap if he doesn't knock him out?
Yeah.
Yeah, but I think he also will.
Really?
I do think he'll knock him. Like, I mean, I think exhaustion will lead to a knockout on its own. And it's not like we talk about Floyd as a guy who is very defensive and, you know, he's like a, you know, it's like a pillow fight. He'll just throw out there, he'll score the points. But he can punch. Like, when he wants to go on the offensive, he can. And when he sees Connor exhausted and throwing looping, awful left hands with no chance, he's going to pulverize him.
Couple of good stories to get to before we're out of here on this Thursday. It's the MMA Insiders. You can follow us on Twitter at that handle, at the MMA Insiders. Bert Okamoto, ESPN.com. Adam Hill, Las Vegas Review-Journal, and Cofield. We got a look ahead to the Buffalo card. I think there's going to be some problems there, some major problems at that card. And is there a chance that the mixed martial arts local who's been brought in to work with Floyd Mayweather will actually make more money with Floyd getting him ready for the Conor fight than he actually makes fighting in the UFC?
MMA Insider Show.
Ford Country is adding to the madness by offering amazing deals on their F-Series trucks during Truck Month and wants to help you celebrate the madness in style. Come to Ford Country on Saturday, March 25th from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. and enter to win one of six premier tailgating packages where Raising Cane's Chicken Fingers will deliver food for five to your home so you can throw your own college hoops watching party. That's March 25th from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. at Ford Country, located at 280 North Gibson Road in the Valley Auto Mall. No purchase necessary. Must be present to win. See dealership for details.
Lisette here for One Nevada Credit Union. We get lots of testimonials from our members about their mortgage experience. Timothy writes, "This was my fourth home purchase, and this was the best experience ever." Well, thanks, Timothy. Aside from a bacon donut, getting a mortgage from One Nevada is a great experience. Contact a One Nevada mortgage officer today to find out how. Call 702-382-4094 or get approved online at onenevada.org. 702-382-4094. Federally insured by NCUA, Equal Housing Lender.
If you have high blood pressure or diabetes, your medication could be affecting your ability to perform. Vivacity Clinic has helped thousands on medications improve their male performance. They can help you too, guaranteed. For an appointment, call 702-457-3888. Your performance will be back, guaranteed.
Springfest is back this weekend at Boca Park. Springfest has live music on stage, culinary experts preparing unique foods, and a huge carnival for the kids. Springfest at Boca Park this weekend. Come enjoy the DJs in the VIP area. Details at springfestlv.com.
Hard knocks just don't happen on the hardwood. They can put you or a loved one behind bars. Make a fast break out of jail and call 8-Ball Bail Bonds. 702-545-0888. 702-545-0888. 8-Ball Bail Bonds.
Want to experience extraordinary? Capriati's offers just that. Listen to what real fans are saying.
I had a cheesesteak with extra hot peppers, and it was absolutely the best cheesesteak I've had in a long time. Bravo, Capriati's. Doug P., Facebook.
I'm eating the most epic sandwich for lunch. It's from Capriati's. It's called the Bobby. I'm in heaven. Natasha S., Twitter.
Favorite sandwich? Slobby Joe. Work of art. Robert M., Facebook.
Just a few things that fans are raving about. Experience extraordinary for yourself by visiting any of our 32 Vegas shops.
Former Governor Bob Miller for the UNLV Alumni Association.
I'm a proud fan of UNLV. Now you can get a UNLV Rebel license plate for your car, motorcycle, or trailer and show everyone your Rebel pride. And with every plate, a portion of the fee goes to fund scholarships at UNLV. So far, we've raised more than $1.5 million for student scholarships. Show your Rebel pride. Get your own license to brag today.
Learn more at unlvplate.org.
Interstate batteries are some of the longest-lasting car batteries in the business. And you can find those long-lasting batteries at over 100,000 locations across the nation. And yet, we recycle even more batteries than we sell. Why? Because we don't just want to get you going. We want to make sure where you're going remains worth getting to. Interstate Batteries, the nation's number one car battery recycler.
The 2017 Subaru Legacy. Symmetrical all-wheel drive plus a fuel-efficient 34 miles per gallon. It's a 2016 IIHS Top Safety Pick Plus with optional Subaru EyeSight so you can meet every road safely and with confidence. When we built the 2017 Legacy, we didn't compromise, and you shouldn't either. Financing as low as 0% during the Subaru A Lot to Love event now through March 31st.
EPA estimated highway fuel economy for 2017 Subaru Legacy 2.5 miles. Actual mileage may vary.
SubaruofLasVegas.com.
It's time for the MMA Insiders.
So last thing on trying to make that Connor Floyd fight and the weekly updates. It looks like local MMA fighter Kevin Lee, who is now a veteran in the UFC, will be one of the guys training with Floyd. And I was just asking if you know, what kind of money he's going to make. And you compare that to what he makes in the UFC. He actually made three fights ago. He made $54,000 combined. So he's probably in the, I would think, like 35, 35 now since then. So I does Floyd pay that much for his training camp partner? He's got enough money.
I wonder if he, I mean, I'm sure he'll get paid something. Yeah. I wonder if they're going to even, I mean, he's been at the gym for a long time. So he's been a part of the gym. He's trained there for his fights.
Different ways to pay guys.
So, yeah, I think maybe he just
kind of hang out with us.
Doesn't pay to work out there or doesn't pay for his training camps there.
Doesn't pay to go to Fatburger.
Plus, he's not really. I know he's an MMA fighter. He doesn't fight like Conor McGregor.
Not at all.
So that's kind of an interesting thing. It's like, oh, yeah, we're going to pay this guy to come in and give us a look for Conor McGregor. Like, what? He looks he fights absolutely nothing like him. And Kevin in his interview was like, well, you know, I can kind of give him, like, some insight as to, like, what an MMA fighter might try to do to even the playing field, I guess. But if I'm thinking Floyd will probably have lanky southpaws
or does to be Floyd, sparring does with. Floyd not even – he's like, I don't know, bring an MMA guy in. I don't know.
Does he even train?
How do MMA guys fight?
Yeah, does he even train for this fight? Just gets in halfway decent shape.
I have been driving by the gym like two or three times a week to see if Floyd's around, like 2 a.m. Haven't seen him yet.
No.
He'll be in shape. That's the one thing you can always count on, and he'll be trained. He'll take it seriously.
Dude, he'll
do his road work.
He will absolutely take it seriously because if he loses, if something crazy happens, then it changes his whole legacy. So he'll be prepared.
Next big pay-per-view, UFC April 8th in Buffalo. Is there a problem at that arena?
Well, around the arena.
NCAA tournament issues getting there?
Yes. This may be news to Brett. I actually broke it to some people yesterday who were very very hurt by it. No Uber. No ride-sharing programs at all. Ride-sharing apps
at
all. Was
it a disaster for the tournament?
And the cab system is notoriously awful in Buffalo. So I think a lot of people will be shocked when they get there, and you'll see a lot of people complaining on Twitter that they can't use it. It's going to be rough for people to get around the city because I know so many people are accustomed to it. I use it everywhere that I go. And the cabs are not only like this is the system outdated. There's not enough of them because usually there's not that many people around the city. So in the NCAA tournament, it was a disaster. You have all these tourists here opening their Uber app and can't get anything, and there's like 7 cabs at the arena. Like, what? This isn't going to help anyone. It's going to be weird.
Now you have family there, right?
I do.
Well, so I assume you'll be able to. Someone will loan you, one of their 84 Reliant K cars.
I have a car, but I still use
some
Uber
kind of Monte
anyway.
Carlo from '78 that your family owns.
You just hate. This is like 4 just sitting on a property that we have 20 miles south of the town. I have a car, but. You still don't like to drive around in different cities. Uber is the way to go.
All right. Panic is setting in.
Yeah.
Panic is setting in.
I talked to somebody yesterday who said they were there for the tournament, and they said, I'm staying at the Marriott, and the cab driver just stared at him like, where's that? The cabs are awful there. They have no clue what they're doing.
All right.
Yeah.
Some fights announced, some upcoming fights in MMA. Do we care? I'll answer this ahead of time. Of course I do. Because of the trash talk element, do we care next week outside of Chicago, King Mo and Rampage?
0 out of 10.
Come on! Lots of Rampage fat jokes.
Hey man, I like both these guys. Well, I like Mo. Rampage, I like him sometimes. Don't like him others. He can be difficult to deal with. But this fight, it just never made sense to me ever when they first did it. And then now they're doing it again when it was bad the first time. And I thought the trash talk has been so forced between these two that I could not have any less interest in this fight.
It's going to be tough. I mean, I think the press conference would be better than the fight, I would imagine. I don't know. It's a tough one. I saw, you know, Rampage ranting about how he has no female fans and he doesn't want any more male fans. Like, this is the kind of stuff you're going to get. This is the best you can hope for. I guess just try to watch them talk about each other and trash talk and hope that the fight has anything once it starts.
The opposite of that is the booking for, what, June? Is it June 10th? In New Zealand, Mark Hunt against the Black Beast, Derek Lewis.
Yeah.
Someone will go down or get hurt seriously. Please go down.
The five-round heavyweight main event that you will never need five rounds for, except for that one time with Mark Hunt and Antonio Silva. But that's it. Yeah, this one, I don't see it going out of the first round. Lewis is like one of those guys where he's doing something incredible, that he's got a win streak in the heavyweight division, and he's fun and he's entertaining, and you could put a highlight reel together of him. But at the end of the day, you're like, how good is this guy? You know, it's almost like what we were talking about earlier with Manoa and Nelson, that as excited as you can get about him and as entertaining as you can get about him, you're still just asking yourself, well, like, what is the end goal here with this guy? Because he's not championship material.
I still don't really understand what happened in his last fight, because he still continues to insist that he just had to go to the bathroom. I guess that's, we have to take him for his word.
No, we don't.
It's insane. But he didn't look hurt afterwards.
Explain what was happening for the audience that didn't see the fight.
So early in the fight, he like grabbed essentially what would be his ribs, like his midsection.
His stomach. His stomach. Like if you got punched in the gut and you like doubled over and held it, that's what it looked like.
Right. And then throughout the fight, he like couldn't move, and you're like, why isn't he getting finished? He can't move around, and then he somehow rallies and scores a victory over Travis Brown in the second round, and you start blaming Travis Brown, like, how can you not take advantage of the guy that's hurt? But then he looks like he's fine as he leaves the cage. Like, all of a sudden, he got healthy. I still don't know what happened.
Well, what did you expect him to do? You thought that the kicks were so bad that he would, like, crawl out of the cage and need a wheelchair to get him out of there? I mean, you can walk out of there.
But later on, people said in the back he was fine.
Yeah.
After he went to the bathroom.
I guess I'm not surprised by that. Yeah, I mean, that was another case where you blame Travis Brown. Travis Brown has got such a mental hurdle. I mean, he had him dead to rights and just couldn't put him away. Like, didn't really know, like, okay, how am I going to finish this guy? I know I've got him hurt. I know I'm beating him. And then over time, it's just the momentum switches, and then he falls into a brawl and gets knocked out by the big hitter. That was more about Travis Brown than it was about Derek Lewis, I thought.
Yeah, and Lewis is fun. I think that's going to be a fun fight. I'm looking forward to it.
If I were Mark Hunt, I would try to get the fight to the second or third round. I know that's not his strategy. I have a feeling that Lewis will not deal well with the long travel, that there'll be some sort of jet lag, exhaustion issue. We've seen it happen before with big fellas. Last one, bold prediction. I'm saying Nate Diaz doesn't fight before the end of the year, and his last fight was in August. I think he's out the whole year if Connor is with Floyd. I don't know when the hell they fight, and then you just had Diaz say, this blanker, that's Dana White, can't stop making blank up about me, and I haven't been offered any fights except the one I laughed at. Like, he's not coming back until he gets Connor, right? Or some other fight for, like, $4 million.
I think I would agree with you if the Khabib thing didn't happen, because now I do think he's got an opponent, and that's Tony Ferguson. He's just waiting for that fight to get bigger before he just goes ahead and agrees to it.
Okay.
I think that fight is going to, you know, because Khabib is, we were kind of thinking like, oh, you know, could he maybe turn around quickly and still get this fight sometime in the near future? It doesn't look like that's going to happen. So I am guessing that Ferguson's going to start turning his attention to Nate. Nate's going to respond, and that's the fight that
we're
going to
get. Don't you have a problem, though, from a money standpoint? If they can't justify paying Nate $2-4 million for that fight, they can't, can they? Well, and then Nate's just like, nope, I'm used to making this money, not coming back.
Well, I think what you'll see there is this fight getting no help on a pay-per-view in terms of selling it. Because if I would imagine that a lot of Nate's money, in terms of when you're talking about $3 million, $4 million, is all tied into pay-per-views. So they're not going to take this fight and say, oh, yeah, we'll throw it on with GSP Bisping. They'll throw it on a pay-per-view with very little help. I think that's probably the most likely outcome.
I mean, it makes sense that there'd be an interim title in the lightweight division, and if Khabib can't take it, these are the two that make sense to fight, and I think I would agree that it comes together at some point. But I also feel like, on some level, Nate is the guy that's just like, yeah, I just don't need to fight. I'm good. I made all the money I'd ever thought I'd make. I'm good.
Yeah, I don't think so, though. I think, you know, there's this narrative that they don't like to fight, which is absolutely true. But he's also told me that, like, I do need something. Like, I get stir crazy. I mean, he is a fighter. As much as it's fun to talk about how they both hate it, and there is truth to that, he's coming off of a loss, even though he calls it a win. and he's a competitive guy, and he is a fighter. So I do think it would be difficult for him to sit out the entire year, just from like a sanity standpoint. I think he needs something to do.
Clay, we go out in what, 45? What do you want to do? Let's get out.
Let's just go to the top of the hour.
Let's go.
90 seconds.
All right. No, we had some music going out. So what do you guys got coming up this week? This is like your one break all year.
Nice. College basketball.
Yeah.
Good times. There was the commission stuff yesterday, so we've got that.
Which, by the way, I completely blew by that in our rundown today, which maybe we can cover down the road. I was not happy with that, but I'm not going to explode over it again. So.
Oh, we should talk about it then if you're fired up about something.
We're out of time now. We're out of time.
Next week.
What'd you think? Real quick. What'd you think?
I don't like seeing a regulatory body change something when there's a big fight looming because it's just a bad look, but you can't find somebody $75,000, arguably $150,000, depending on how you're looking at the fine. You can't find somebody that much money for throwing a water bottle.
The one caveat I'll say is they would not admit it, but by the looks on the face, you could tell. What if somebody would have been seriously hurt? Because now you've set the precedent that for throwing something, this is what the fine is. It's $25,000. So next time, if somebody fires something and somebody gets a concussion or seriously hurt from a can hitting their face, you're like, listen, just because I hit somebody, you can't find me any more than the guy that threw it. We did the same exact thing.
15 seconds and counting.
You guys are professional athletes. You got to watch where you're throwing the bottles. Throw them in a manner that looks menacing, but it's not going to affect anybody's health standing by.
Nobody told Chris Avila that.
No, he didn't. As he fired a water bottle from 5 feet away right at Adam Hill's face. All right, we are out of here. Check out the podcast, the archives of it, at lvsportsnetwork.com. Thanks to Brett, Adam, Clay, especially you. We'll see you.
MMA Insider Show.
When you turn your game days into